Gotcha. Welcome to the Village Oak Tree. I'm your host, Terrence O'Donnell. Thank you for joining me. Over the last couple of weeks, I've given you a couple of long-winded podcasts, so this week I'm going to give everyone a bit of a break. This one will be much shorter. I'm still going on with this whole business of Trump's personal militia that call themselves DOH or Department of Homeland Security, a term George W. Bush coined during his two failed terms. Although he would differ an opinion on that, I'm sure. But I'm not here to dredge up past U.S. presidents too much, other than to shout to the world about how feckless they've been over the last 80 years since FDR died. I've also found a couple of news articles from media that's still not afraid to print the truth about the failing economies in the U.S. and Europe. So gather around, sit you down somewhere comfortable for a bit. I'm not going to mince words this week. The Western world is in big trouble these days. I want to dig more into the Department of Homeland Security that Bush and his team dreamed up as a response to the tragedy on 9/11/2001. So let's back up a little bit first. It's been more than 24 years since the terrorists hijacked those planes and turned them into suicide bombs, and they'll be forever part of American history, just as much as the American Revolution of the 1770s, the Civil War in the 1860s, World War I, World War II, and so on. That tragic event forever scarred American culture as a whole, and things have never been the same since. Hence, the Department of Homeland Security, the Patriot Act, and so on. How many of you remember the infamous Patriot Act? According to the internet searches, its goals are to deter terrorism anywhere in the world as it may affect U.S. national security. What it actually did was allow Bush and company to grab known and suspected terrorists from around the world and torture them in CIA black sites outside of the U.S. and its territories in order to extract information, which largely didn't work and forever stained a reputation in the United States to its allies in the West. It also let the not-so-much allies in the Middle East know what to expect from the U.S. if they didn't toe the line. It was used as an excuse to invade Iraq in 2003 because Bush and his band of merry men needed the Iraqi oil before Saddam Hussein made deals with the Russians and the French. Not many people know or remember that, but I'll never forget. In 2002, while I was deployed to a remote corner of northeastern Afghanistan, we had a satellite dish on the roof of our small base of operations at Kunduz. Once in a while, when we could get a signal, I would tune into Al Jazeera News from Qatar. It was in Arabic for the most part, but as I knew some back then, I could follow along to a degree. They're reporting about Bush's reasons for screaming about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction were vastly different than what was being allowed to be reported to the American public. I say allowed because I found out about Bush's U.S. media censorship from an American reporter who stayed with us for a couple of weeks while we were in Kunduz, but that's another story. Meanwhile, in the Middle East, what was being reported was that Bush's handlers, Dick Cheney, his father Bush Sr., his oil company executives, Donald Rumsfeld, and others, were secretly pissed off that Saddam was working on oil deals with Russia and France in order to deliberately cut out the Americans. They couldn't have that, so they decided to invent the hysteria about the weapons of mass destruction. The somewhat famous Scott Ritter has been the darling of podcasts ever since he was one of the weapons inspectors sent to root out the truth. Himself and his crew didn't find any evidence of any WMD, as we all know by now, but as we also know, that only infuriated Bush and company even more, and history was made over the ensuing 20 years. In 2025, the Patriot Act has been diminished by Congress in the years after the Bush terms, but it's still active more for its massive surveillance infrastructure being used around the world. The technology can mostly be attributed to the Israelis these days, which is being used everywhere a government wants to surveil its people. The two worst offenders are the U.S. and Britain. In the U.S., Homeland Security is actively using Israeli technology to hack into mobile phones, scrape data from social media feeds, set up facial recognition software, license plate identification systems that is used in every state and shared with every law enforcement agency in the country. It's even worse in Britain, I hear. It's in this atmosphere that Homeland Security has been given license to do whatever it takes to snatch people using aggressive tactics to intimidate everyone around the country. They don't care if you're an American citizen. If you look Latino or just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, they will slam people to the ground and roughly detain anyone they want, whenever they want, because intimidation is a large part of the mission objective. ProPublica's latest report from last week that a lot of media companies are referencing right now reports that they think upwards of 170 American citizens have been aggressively detained in the last 9 months. They're being held anywhere from a couple hours to days or even weeks before their valid U.S. citizenship can be proven. In an update to this, I read some on news this morning that Congress is starting to look into this. Well, the Democrats are anyway. So that could get interesting. So, you know, ProPublica is good about getting a lot of their articles in front of Congress here lately. I watched one news video posted online of some teenager in Chicago being chased out of a store by an ICE agent, thrown to the sidewalk, then shoved into the back seat of an ICE SUV, only to be released a couple hours later once they verified the kid was a native-born citizen. My takeaway was that the kid in the video looked like an African-American, not Latino. He probably said something to the ICE agent while they were in the store, which is why he was chased down and held. The point I'm making is this is why so many Americans are saying this is over the top. I'll talk a little bit about the No Kings marches from last Saturday in a bit. I've said in recent podcasts that the American people are on the edge of a revolt against these authoritarian thugs they're hiring to be ICE agents. There's some evidence that people are starting to slowly resist. For now, they're doing their best to record videos and report to their neighbors when ICE is rolling in their neighborhoods. Homeland managed to intimidate the tech companies to drop the ICE reporting apps on iPhones to hinder people from reporting on ICE raids, but people are resourceful. They found other ways to get the job done, and it's working to a degree. In LA and Chicago, they set up an underground railroad of a sort to help immigrants run from ICE when these alarms go out. Households are being warned, and the residents are being assisted to safety until ICE finally leaves the area. It's not a perfect solution, but it's something. It's helping some innocent people stay out of the concentration camps, whose only crime is entering the country and still not having their citizenship papers, not for lack of trying. Some are undocumented, sure, but a large majority of them are hardworking taxpayers who have no criminal records other than crossing the border without any papers. A lot of them have been living in the country for decades with little issue. I heard somewhere that upwards of 70% of those in the concentration camps right now have no criminal record. There are more and more reports coming out also about the horrific conditions these people are being subjected to in these privately run concentration camps. Not enough food. What little they do get is rancid and spoiled most of the time. Overcrowding, lack of fresh water for hygiene and hydration, sexual and physical abuse, and so on. One of the other things I've heard in some of these news reports is that about the massive recruiting campaign going on for ICE agents. Not only are the sign-on bonuses huge, but their basic training is being short-circuited in favor of takedown and detention tactics rather than actual policing. They seem to be favoring former military, special ops soldiers in particular, and former SWAT police. Probably those who were fired from other state and local police departments for abusing people. I watched a Chris Hedges interview recently with a former Fort Bragg soldier who wrote a book about the out-of-control Delta Force special ops soldiers. One of the key points I remember about the hour-long interview is what these former operators are doing once they're no longer on active duty. He tells Chris Hedges that some of them are being recruited to be ICE agents. A lot of these operators are broken from multiple deployments to faraway places and from the really bad things they were ordered to do in the name of national security. Assassinations, torture, kidnappings, extrajudicial killings in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria. And these are the guys being recruited to snatch people off the streets of the U.S. and put in concentration camps across the country. We can see some of them on the videos being posted online nearly every day. Do you want to know the real reason these guys are wearing face masks? It's because some of them are adrenaline junkies and drug addicts, and they're afraid someone will recognize them and out them for who they are. Burnt out Special Forces troops who were asked, not so politely, to leave the Army and Navy over UCMJ violations that the government wants covered up. This is Trump's private military. The same caliber of people who ransacked the Capitol building on January 6, 2021. Most of them are doing it for the insane amount of money being thrown at them and being given permission to act out their fantasies of abusing people with little to no resistance. This is an adrenaline junkie's wet dream. For the ex-Special Forces drug addicts, they now have lots of money to buy their favorite drugs to offset the adrenaline highs from being able to beat up on people. The only downside is they haven't been given permission to slaughter people yet. Maybe soon? The good news is that the No Kings protest went off peacefully. A lot of people were worried that someone would push a protester and set off the riot police, which would set off the feds, who are looking for a reason to declare martial law. Instead, Trump went to Florida and played golf. His MAGA dogs in Congress took naps, so all was quiet, other than the ongoing ICE raids across the country. The only thing that came out of the White House was a social media video showing Trump wearing a crown, driving a jet, and dumping turds on protesters below. Yeah, the news media has made hash of that all weekend. On the economic front, there are new news reports coming out from news media outside of the U.S. that Americans are now really starting to make some noise to the media about the prices of basic essentials like food and medicines going up dramatically or just becoming unavailable altogether now. People are taking hard notice of grocery shelves remaining empty for weeks and price hikes of 20 to 25% or more now since Trump's tariffs were enacted. I noticed it myself when I ordered some Chinese medicine for my wife. There is now an added shipping fee for supposedly free shipping that Amazon Prime members are supposed to be getting as part of the package deal. As I've reported before, the price of beef and chicken are going through the roof these days. We've stopped buying beef, except on a rare occasion now. We buy chicken in bulk at Costco. What meat protein we eat is largely from fish these days. Although pork prices don't seem to be too bad yet, we don't eat that much of it anymore either. Then there are the rising prices of utilities. The rate prices for electricity and clean water are going up more and more lately, which is largely going unreported except in media outlets like Inside Climate News. I have one report that attributes a lot of this to this huge demand for AI data centers that tech billionaires want to build anywhere they can get away with it. This isn't the first article I've read about this, and it won't be the last. These data centers that only benefit a certain few in the local communities where they build them are being blocked in quite a few places around the country as the local citizens try to fight back. All they do is wreck the local environment and raise the electricity and water rates with little to no benefit for the local community, unless you're an IT tech or a network engineer who works at one of them. With Trump gutting the EPA and probably receiving some kind of backdoor personal campaign donation from these corporations, is going to be up to the people in these local communities to keep standing up to these corporations and continue to say no. With Trump pushing more coal use to help the electricity producers produce more electricity for the data centers, things will only get worse before things eventually get better or go bust. And that brings me to my last bit of economic news. Impending bust for the AI tech industry. Much like past recessions, the current over-leveraging of AI chips, software, and the data centers needed to manage and store everything is starting to get to a point of unsustainability in the U.S. stock markets. The bubble finally burst. The economy will take a huge hit like in times past, such as the subprime mortgage bust in 2008, the dot-com bust in 2000, and so on. As long as you're not invested in any tech stocks, you should survive the bust. It'll hit like before. A lot of people will lose their jobs, inflation will go up, and so on until things reset themselves in a year or two. The one difference this time is that the U.S. does not have any money to do a bailout, and very few, if any, countries will let the U.S. borrow any money to give any bailouts to the tech industries in the U.S. Any friends of the U.S. are already stressed to the max because of tariffs and their own failed economic policies. Japan, South Korea, the EU, and UK are too busy taking care of their own problems now. The rest of the world will not be coming to the rescue either. Trump has seen to that this year. All in all, the United States is in a hot mess because of another inept president. I've said this before. However things turn out over the next year or so, the country will never be the same again. The divisiveness in Congress is becoming too much to manage anymore, and states are starting to take matters in their own hands more and more. Will the U.S. eventually split itself because of its widening cultural divide within the next few years? It's too early to tell yet. Americans have proven throughout the years of U.S. existence to be pretty resilient. They've survived things that have separated other countries in the past. Whether Trump will succeed in creating an actual split remains to be seen. Whatever happens in the next year leading up to the midterm national elections will have a major impact on the future of the United States. The stakes for everyday people in the country are very high. If the 7 million people plus people protesting against kings across the U.S. last Saturday means anything, attitudes are starting to change. I'd like to think that it means a lot of people are willing to stand up and be counted, that they finally see what's going on, want to try and thwart this wannabe authoritarian government by peaceful means, whether it's through peaceful protests or fighting to keep the opportunity to vote in their state elections. Time will tell, but I still think the people in the U.S. will have to endure some hardships before things start to get better again. Trump is far from being finished, so I'm going to continue to watch and talk about what's going on around us. I would like to see the day when life is a dream and I won't feel the need to play activist anymore. And for now, though, we're living in a nightmare and it's just getting a good start. So I'm going to let that go for now. As I said, I was going to make this short this week. I'm going to take this break. When I return, I'll read another chapter from The Priest by Michael Campy.
I want to take a minute to explain how you can support what I'm doing. Either through a direct donation, a Substack subscription, or purchasing my book, any of which can be done through my website shown at the bottom of the screen or with the QR code shown on the screen here. First, let me say, I don't initially paywall my work, but I do accept donations of any amount in any currency using the donations page on my website. Or you can sign up for a paid subscription to my Substack page if you can afford to do so. There's a link to my Substack page, Krana Beha, the Tree of Life, on my website in the Village Oak Tree podcast page. My $30 a year or $5 a month Substack subscription rates are as low as they will allow, if that helps. If nothing else, like, follow, restack, or sign up for a free subscription and share with anyone you wish. Add my voice to the many in the independent media who dare to stand up to the tyrants before they come after us. If you're not watching this on Substack, there's a link to my website on the Village Oak Tree YouTube channel page as well. Now let me finish up by showing you the book I wrote in 2023. It's a story of rebellion and romance set in a fictional theocratic United States not too far in the future. If this story sounds interesting, go to any major book retailer around the world to order it in any format you like, or purchase a hardcover or paperback version directly from me on my website and read it for yourself. Sláinte. Welcome back. So let me pull up the story like we've done before here. And we'll pull this out and let me read it. The Priest, formerly known as Bob, part 50. Stuffy weighs in on humans. If you possess, like I do, a very low emotional quotient, you can view human behavior in a dispassionate and rational manner. It is much easier to discern patterns and deviations to take emotion out of the equation. Humans are remarkable in their ability to cling to things that no longer exist, or more accurately, never existed in the first place. This was rampant in the old world,
and shows no signs of diminishing in the New World. It apparently never occurred to anyone that humans were humans and their conditioned behavior was not environmentally imposed. Regardless of where they were at any given time, they would always behave in the same way. There was a book by P.D. Ouspensky called The Strange Life of Ivan Osokin, which follows the unsuccessful struggle of Osokin to correct his mistake when given a chance to relive his past. Even knowing what he had done wrong in his life and knowing what he should have done, he was powerless to alter his actions and produce a new, more acceptable outcome. It was released originally in 1915. Now, I've often wondered what Ouspensky would say now if given a chance to see what human race has become. This is one of the reasons I was always attracted to the natural world. Despite the view held by humans that nature was chaotic and messy, it had a perfection that they couldn't hope to grasp because of their conditioning and limited ability to see the perfection it represented. From the smallest plant to the largest tree, I never encountered anything that was pretending to be anything other than what it was at that moment in his life. Nature is much more alive and sentient than any human could comprehend, and that is, most likely, why humans went on the rampage of destruction. They not only believed themselves somehow superior to the natural world, but could not see their part in a greater whole, not understanding that they were part of an ecosystem allowed them to destroy everything in their path with impunity. One of my favorite quotes by a woman named Angela Carter reads, "Like the wild beasts, she lives without a future. She inhabits only the present tense, a fugue of the continuous, a world of sensual immediacy, as without hope as it is without despair." That is a perfect description of how the natural world lives and why modern humans could never grasp the concept. They were, quite simply, not able to abandon their emotional attachments. At the risk of sounding arrogant or holier than thou, I am fortunate to not be cursed with an excess of emotion. Existing in the apocalypse has forced a lot of them to take stock of their beliefs and suppositions, but it's not gone far enough. I imagine it will take several generations what they don't have before they can get rid of themselves of the past, which will, of course, open the door for a plethora of new beliefs and attachments in an endless loop of self-deception and grasping. My favorite person in this group is Tiki. He and I have been spending a lot of time together, and other than his dog-like fear of pain and being eaten, he, having no past to speak of, is the most honest and genuine of the people I have met, and I can have a bit of fun at his expense, which is mean but not harmful, or so I convince myself. He believes everything I say and can be convinced to do the things that amuse me. It's kind of like putting reindeer ears on a dog. This little group has given me an opportunity to study how people bring their conditioning with them and has proven beyond a doubt that the circumstances are irrelevant and who they were before is who they are now, albeit a little more raw and elemental. They will desperately cling to what they turn normal in some sense of misguided attempt to bring order to a disorderly and chaotic situation. You can take humans out of civilization, but you can't take civilization out of humans. So that's all I have here for you this week. Let me pull this back out here. Garimahagan, thank you for watching or listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed it. You'll return again to listen to me offer a voice of what a lot of people are thinking these days. To say goodbye this week, I wish to leave you with this quote. Struggle for freedom is not for the faint of heart, but for those who are willing to sacrifice everything for a greater cause, for a cause greater than themselves. Schlongo Foyle.